a jazz record would come in once a month, or maybe two, and they would buy them, and they would, this is when they'd started playing,
right?
And they would buy them and they would play along with them.
Who's they?
Let's just say Ian and Tom.
Yep.
They would play along with them until till they were completely unplayable. They literally wore them out. But by that stage of the game, they had the tunes down.
Yep.
So, or tune. Oh, I'll say tunes, there were two sides. And they would, they'd add them to their repertoire, and finally they had a repertoire, you know. And,
well, that's probably, sorry.
Just played little dances and things like that, you know, whatever they could get.
It leads me to probably one of the sort of last areas I'd like to really explore with you was the difference between Tasmanian jazz, if there was one, and jazz on the mainland and jazz in the United States. Now, I've heard rumours that, you know, because of our isolation down here, because of our geography as well, there was less exposure to bands and people relied on recordings. So
that is,
that true?
That is completely.
And what influence do you think it had?
That
on
is
jazz
completely band? Correct.
So, okay.
And
could you elaborate a bit more?
I can elaborate a little bit more on that. As these records came in the early days, 1 month might be a Louis Armstrong recording, okay, with a, you know, tune on each side, and so would they would learn that,
yep,
and then start playing it. The next one might be a Benny Goodman trio,
right?
Quite different, but they'd learn that as well.
You're talking about they being Pickering and
Pierce.
Yeah.
They would learn that as well. And to put it simply, they Phil, they had all these incredible numbers of music coming in,
yeah,
and so they just learnt them, and so we had this quite remarkable genre of jazz going on, and you know, it was from the 20s and then through the 30s, and then of course music started to come in LPs and so forth and so on, they tended to stick to the same sort of thing. If they heard something and they liked it, they learnt it and they played it.
Let me put you on the spot then. You say a different genre. Now, how was specifically Tasmanian jazz different from the jazz that was developing on the mainland or overseas? How would you describe it? Was it like a combination of?
Well, it was a combination. Yes, I think you've put that well. It was a combination of all styles.
Mm.
They didn't play what we call, in inverted commas, modern jazz.
They played trad jazz, or?
Basically, yes, they hated that. They hated that name, Ian and Tom. Actually, they used the expression New Orleans jazz, which in fact it was. Why, how traditional jazz came about, I don't know, but the general person called it trad jazz, and what they played trad jazz, yes. Yeah. But it wasn't really.
So you're saying they used a combination of different styles.
That's correct.
And put it together, and it was a bit different down here than it was on the mainland?
That's correct, yes.
Well, let me read out just a quote. There's someone, I haven't got his name here, but from the University of Queensland, has done a PhD on.
Yes, you mentioned that.
The major influence is that Tasmania's isolation from mainland Australia has in fact led to its distinctiveness. The initial jazz craze of the 20s barely touched the island. Similarly, the amount of bop activity in the 40s... What's bop?
Bebop, more than jazz.
Okay. Bop activity in the 40s and 50s was so slight as to make that style negligible in the jazz activity of the period in Tasmania.
That's correct.
In more general terms, there have been fewer stylistic developments in Tasmanian jazz because of the state's isolation than, say, Sydney and Brisbane. What this has created is differences in kind which separate from the interchange in the larger connected urbanised areas. I don't know what that means. So this person's saying that, you know, we weren't that influenced by bop, only just, and we didn't get involved in the jazz craze of the 70s, has led to a different type of jazz down here. Furthermore, unique adaptions and stylistic characteristics have developed as a direct result of this. The demography between Tasmania's north and south has resulted in particular jazz styles and characteristics, a further circumstance arising in part from demography in Tasmania is the importance of bands rather than individuals. Now, I think what that's trying to say is that there's a difference between north and south in Tasmania because of the population size, and what was more important in Tasmania were the bands rather than individuals. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think so. There are only a couple of bands up in the north. One was led by the Goulet brothers, and there was one other, and I can't remember who those chaps were.
Yep.
But I can't really describe the difference. I can't really put words to it, I'm afraid.
But when you, like in those days, when you listen to jazz coming from the United States or jazz records from the mainland, you could tell there was a difference between that and what was happening down here?
Oh, yes, of course you could. Yes, yes. The technical ability and... what else?
Well, here's another interesting quote.
Well, that's really that it, yeah.
The importance of radio for the spread of the jazz gospel, particularly the ABC, has probably been greater in Tasmania than most other Australian states where live music, overseas musicians and musical shows are more accessible. So we relied a fair bit on the ABC down here for jazz. Do you agree with that?
We did rely a fair bit. Yes, we did. One of the most popular programs was on a Saturday morning run by a fellow called Eric Child. And Eric was an absolute authority. We learnt a tremendous amount from him. He was, just something that you didn't miss. I remember being on a tour, doing a tour once with a band promoting the Tasmanian Casino. It wasn't a jazz band, it was just a band. And one Saturday morning we were somewhere or other and we were just about to go home and somebody put Eric on the car radio, and I felt a feeling of homesickness,
Did you? Oh.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
I've got a note here that says, why do you think jazz died out? There you go, there's a bit of a question for you. Or has it?
No.
It's gone underground.
It hasn't died out. It's still going strong. I don't know much about Hobart now. I don't live here. but Alfie tells me that there's still youngsters getting together and playing. They're not playing the old style of jazz. They're playing modern jazz now, what we will call modern jazz.
Yep, yep.
He said, but they're still doing it. There's jazz courses in the schools. There's a very good jazz course at the university.
Yeah. Did you teach, throughout most of your career?
Yes, I did.
You did, yeah.
Yes. I can't tell you the names of the places that I taught in because there's just so many I can't remember.
Yes, and I just came to mind then. I just thought I'd better ask you just to make sure. Yeah. So you didn't actually make a living out of jazz. You did, but you had to teach.
I taught.
I noticed here I've got some notes here about ragtime revival. Another difference between Tasmania and the mainland, that ragtime was quite popular down here well before it was popular.
It was because Ian and Tom revived it. Excuse me, please. Ian and Tom revived it and it was quite popular for a few years. But it's not played anymore.
Okay, mate, if you had your time over again, what would you do differently?
Nothing. No, I've been perfectly happy. I would have studied harder. I would have learnt more. Phil, that's the only thing I can say.
Before you go, tell me that story again about why you were nicknamed Alf.
Oh, because of the Mad magazine character Alfred E. Newman, whose slogan was "What me worry." And evidently that was rather a part of my outlook on education and in those days.
Rock me slowly.
No. What me worry.
Oh, what me worry, okay.
Yeah.
And that stuck, obviously.
That stuck, yeah.
Because when I say to people, I'm talking to Mr. Greg Properjohn, they say, who? Well, I say, Alf Properjohn. Oh, yes. Alf.
That's true, yes.
Okay, look, I don't have...
I've just about finished, Phil.
Well, that's good, mate, that's good. Thank you very, very much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
An absolute pleasure talking to you, and I'm very grateful to you for coming and seeing me.
No problem, mate.
I really am very grateful to you indeed.
And you've said some really interesting stuff, some good detail. I'll make sure it gets back to the jazz community. Just one final question. You're pretty optimistic about the future of jazz in...
Yes, I am.
..in Tasmania and Australia?
Yep. Well, that's all I'll say. I am.
Okay, mate. That's it.
Good man.
We got there.